8th, 2018. This is Geeks Next Door, episode 100. Get hype! Woo!
100.
100 episodes in, one robot down, and I think we're going to get going here, assuming that this is recording correctly. It is recording correctly. Sweet. Okay, so to start us off, I have something. I think we've done something similar before, so you guys should be experts at it. 100 episodes is a lot. Like, it's a lot. Right? It's a fucking lot of episodes. You guys did a good job. I mean, you know, Ryan made it to about 40 of them, but it was a good job from everybody.
I need 8, I think.
Cool.
So, what I have here is the top 30 longest-running U.S. sitcoms. No, this will be fun. We're going to go around. We're going to see who's those the best or who can remember the best. And once you miss one, you're out. Don't look it up. Look at me go. Look it up and shit. It don't matter. Whoever wins is declared Emperor of Five Kings. Just letting you know. So, who should we start with? We should do it random, huh? We definitely should.
Hey, what's the definition of a sitcom?
I knew you were going to ask that. Situation comedy is a genre of comedy centered on a fixed set of characters who carry over from one episode to episode.
Okay.
Because I was like, you know, Ryan's going to say, what's the definition of sitcom?
I wasn't sure. Like, actually,
for our listening audience, that was probably necessary.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
Oh, and most of you probably didn't understand that was me mocking Ryan. I sounded just like him. So, in these situation comedies, which is kind of like usually you're going to see him in the evenings, 7 to 10 kind of a thing, you know. So up there. Let's roll. Highest will start first. Ryan, you get a 4. Dave, you get a 3. Adam, you get a... Adam gets a 10. And Adam, you're starting us off, A-Dubs. Give me one of the top 30...
He doesn't say this one first.
If he doesn't say this.
Situation comedies of all time by episodes.
1977. MASH.
Wait, after MASH or MASH?
No, MASH.
I knew you were going to say that one. And of course, it's on there. It was 11 seasons, 2, 4, 6, like number 8 or something down the list or something. Good job, Adam. You did great. We'll go around. Dave, 2, you're next. Can you give me one?
I know what he's going to say.
Yeah, you really do?
I do.
Seinfeld.
Close to the bottom, but just streaked in there with nine seasons. Nine seasons around number 24, I think. So, Ryan, it's up to you, baby. Go ahead and give me something that's not a situation comedy.
I'm going to go with The Cosby Show.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's definitely a situational comedy. You're correct.
It's not on the list. That show was on forever for like a million years, wasn't it?
It was like
it's got to be like the next one on the list.
I saw, speaking of the Cosby Show, I saw a picture on Reddit today, and it says in 1989, if they said one of these guys was going to be making movies for Disney and one of these guys was going to be in trouble for sexually harassing women, which would you pick? And it showed Bill Cosby and Ice Cube.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Ryan, you were close. It had 8 seasons, just under 200 episodes. So that was close, but it did not make the list. I'm sorry. You can no longer play. We give you zero credit. Hey. May God have mercy on your soul. So.
Voted out the weakest island. Link.
Good try, though.
Dave.
Me? I am going to go with... Roseanne. Wasn't that like 10 seasons?
Ooh,
9 seasons? Good. 10 seasons? Amy would know, and my wife would know.
But she's go like, with what you know.
I'm going to say Roseanne.
So you go with Roseanne.
Yeah.
Not on the list, believe it or not.
Ooh.
Really?
We got upset Bruin. We got our upset Bruin, yeah.
I don't know. Now Roseanne. I have to look it up.
Well, sure, you can do that later. That's fine. Roseanne, I think, had... okay. Actually, technically, it did have a revival season. That might put it over the edge. Hang on. I'll have to do some quick math here. How many seasons were in each... How many episodes were in each season? It looks like... Doesn't tell... Here we go. Okay. The revival season might put it over. Let's see. 20, 40, 60, 80. That's 100. 20, 40, 60, 80. 233... which puts it tied for last on my list, so I have to give it to you. So it's actually, because of the revival, don't look at me like, I know this shit, I'm amazing.
Math is math, Ryan.
Is that the revival?
I don't know, I think this show is rigged.
technically,
if your boy Cosby somehow doesn't stop molesting women and gets
I
want to
recount because there's Cosby spinoffs that I think should count because they're sort of revivals. You know what I mean?
No, they were never revivals.
Yeah, they're just spinoffs. Different. Dave 2 is kind of correct there. It technically hasn't aired yet, but it does this month, so I'll give it to you.
They don't show all the episodes. What if they don't show all the episodes?
They will. They're fucking committed to it. It's 9 episodes they're going to give them out. So if they don't, we'll come back and strip the title.
So what if they have – so this is – if they have a revival of The Cosby Show in the future, I should be able to count – those towards my score, and I suspect there could be 100 more episodes coming. I think with the revival.
No, you know what, Ryan?
Because
if they have a revival of The Cosby Show now, you win. Okay.
Are you counting another world in this?
What are they going to say? Dr. Huxwell died. Let's move on and do something else.
Well, if we're going to use Ryan's spinoff argument, mine will not lose. My next one will not lose.
It doesn't matter. We're not doing stupid arguments. We're doing these right down the list. How many episodes there were for the original show. But you know what? Sometimes
some revivals that are in play.
No, listen. Some of these
shows. I care. It's just funny.
I know. You're an idiot. Listen. Some of these went for like 8 seasons, then took four seasons off, and then had another more seasons. That's not literally a revival. It's a continuation of the show. Same thing. I hate Ryan. He's out. Adam, what do you got?
I'm going to go with The Simpsons?
Yeah, number one, 26 seasons. Longest running show in the sitcom in fucking forever. It's ridiculous. I'll wait for Ryan to complain about that one.
Oh, I like it. Good answer.
Oh, okay.
Questionable asterisks involved there. Very well done.
Not even close.
Too many characters. You said fixed set of characters. Day two. What do you got for me? You got one?
Friends?
Yeah, they had like 11 seasons.
And they had 10 seasons. Good try, though. But they did make the list. Good job. Dave, you got one?
With the king of spinoffs, Hap Hap Happy Days.
We're not doing spinoffs, but you are correct. Happy Days made the list at 11 seasons. Adam?
I'm going to say Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. 11 seasons. Good job. Dave, too?
Cheers was my fallback.
I thought somebody would get that too.
What was the name of that show?
Bob Newhart.
Nope, I know what you're talking about.
That's what I was going. Yeah, Bob Newhart. That's where I was going, but I don't think that's. Yeah, sure. Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, not on my list. I'm sorry.
I knew it.
It looks like his show ran for like half a season and was canceled. I'm just kidding.
I know it was longer than that.
Yeah, it ran for a few seasons, like 5 or something like that. But it definitely was on the show. I think Adam like reverse inceptioned you or something. So fuck you.
I did. It literally was in my head, but I couldn't remember.
Dave, what do you got? Give me one.
I'm gonna go with the known fact that what's his face played. Frasier Crane more on the sequel to the show Cheers. Frasier, so Frasier.
That's very good. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, Frasier, 11 seasons, same as Cheers. Had a few more episodes, but same number of seasons. Adam,
go with Futurama because they did have a shitload, and then they stopped, and then they had more.
But I don't know if seasons were full seasons. That's a problem.
Yep. I don't see Futurama on my list. If I look quickly at Wikipedia here, it says Futurama canceled. It came back. It looks like it had, not many. That's a good guess. It had 7 seasons, but the episodes were like 13 per season or something. So
7 seasons?
Yeah.
It had like 14.
Okay. It's got 4 on Wikipedia and then another 3 from Comedy Central. That's just what I see. I could be wrong, but usually the internet's always right. So, yeah.
Damn it.
Okay, so Dave, equal turns equals Y. Give me one.
Married with Children.
Yep, it was on 11 seasons. Good job. All right, that was fun. I feel like Ryan reached in his first one. He reached for something. He reached for the stars, where he could have taken it easier.
Well, I couldn't remember how long it was ago. So, like the further they out they are, they have this weird perception thing where you feel like it was on for a really long time.
Yep.
You know,
I thought Who's the Boss would be on there, but
So of the top six. The only one that I think we got was The Simpsons. South Park has been on for 18 seasons.
Oh.
It's a lot. It's got a lot of episodes. Family Guy has been on for 13 seasons. Full episodes. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Where were you guys on this one? 14 seasons.
Whoa. South Park is 21 seasons.
Now it is, yes.
How old is that?
What?
18 seasons would have been 4 years ago.
No.
South Park had 14 seasons in 2014, actually.
Yes. So that's 18 seasons now, right?
18 seasons in 2014.
What?
Like it's 18th season finished December 10th of 2014.
Okay, yes. These are actually based on episodes, as I said at the beginning. And you are correct. The episodes have gone up, but the episodes, the seasons have gone up, but the episodes are the total what we went by. What else is there? King of the Hill has been on like forever. That's like a bunch, 13 seasons, I believe. And Two and a Half Men. That brings up
really?
Our top five. Oh. That thing's been on for like forever. And yeah, there was a bunch of little ones. Facts of Life, King of Queens, Drew Carey Show. All those went for like 10 seasons or 9 seasons, which is a lot more than I thought they did. So
I wonder if the animated ones live longer because the characters don't change, and that makes it simple for them to keep trucking along, you know what I mean?
Maybe. Because, American Dad was on there, too. It's got a bunch of seasons, too. And I've seen like one episode of that show, so... but... okay, cool. We got a fun-filled episode of episode 100 where we're going to pull out all the stops and we're going to put them all in Adam's butt, so let's get going. This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we get excited. This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we get excited. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party. Yeah,
Adam.
No party.
Adam's butt is back.
We had the football game. Wow. Roethlisberger quarterback was Hug It, Chuck It football. I just watched Zach and Mary made a porno like the other night.
That show's funny.
Ow, my butt.
That's a funny show. Because they made a porno at the beginning, or early in the thing, which was a Star Wars-based porno, and they're also making a Star Wars live-action television series.
I saw that.
That's pretty great.
And
John Favreau.
I was going to say, John... Swingers?
Absolutely. Who would have thought, years and years ago... Good old John Favreau from Swingers.
You're all grown up, and you're grown up, and you're grown up, and you're grown up.
Right.
But,
if you watched that, you would have been like, you know what? I bet you this this guy over here is probably going to make it. He's got way more charisma and stuff. This Vince Vaughn guy, I think he's going places. I haven't seen that guy in a million years, but then Favreau was making some fat Disney monies.
But he went behind the scenes, though, you know, right. So... That's the approach you take if you're not, you know, winning up front. He did good.
He was winning in Rudy, I tell you.
You're a winner.
Oh, that's true.
Who was he in Rudy? I don't remember that.
He was
Rudy's best friend.
Friend, yep.
He had all the girls.
Huh.
You're a winner.
Why do you keep trying, Rudy? Just come with me. You got a pretty girl right here. Let's go.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
What do we know about? Do we know anything other than that they're just making this? We don't know timeline. We don't know timetable. We don't know setting or anything like that.
We just know that so far.
It'll probably be on their streaming service.
Disney streaming service?
Right.
Oh, fuck. It's another Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, they've been pulling stuff off like crazy off Netflix for their own. It's annoying.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. So basically they're like, oh man, we hate regular television channels, but eventually we're gonna have our regular television channels. But it'll just be like the Disney Channel. I'm like, hey, we had that like 30 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, it was called DTV.
The Disney Channel. No, that's a special kind of television.
Yeah, that's on Cinemax at night.
Right, down with the DTV.
Oh no, did they call it like DTV like back in the day?
I don't know.
I don't know. Think so.
Maybe that was a specific program they. I'm not even getting
for
that was the show when your dad was all like, hey, Adam, don't go on the cable box above 100. There's some stuff up there you're not supposed to watch.
That's where they keep the DTV. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, so I remember, what was it, like 10 years ago, they were talking about it right after like the prequels. They're like, oh, we're going to make some Star Wars shows. Remember that?
And then, yeah, they did really well with the Star Trek Christmas show, too.
Oh, that's true.
So what do you where do you want it? Tell me what your thoughts are. Where, if you, this show is coming out, it's going to be a series or whatever. What, where do you want it in the timeline? Where do you think would be fun or best? For, not even where do you think it's going to be, but where do you want it? Where would you want, like to watch a show?
I would personally either go really old or really new. So like,
what do you mean by really old?
Like a thousand years before Jedi,
like Old Republic.
Old Republic.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
Or go after fucking all this future stuff.
Yeah, the problem with that is continuity. You got to keep continuity with the movies that are coming out too.
Right.
Yeah. So it'd probably be best to go back.
You can go in between.
Oh sure.
I mean,
like Dark Lord of Sith.
I mean, well, they've even come out and said that there's other stuff that was happening in the galaxy besides the Luke Skywalker saga.
No way.
So you put that in there, and they're already kind of playing around with that continuity with the ending of Rebels, with a couple other Jedi that have survived, that they're out there. You just don't know. So, they could play with that quite a bit.
Yeah, I always had this issue with the fact that they're like, hey, you know, galaxies are big. Mm-hmm. And if you're like, we know where all the Jedi are, we killed all of them except for like one or two. Nah, galaxies are bigger than you think they are. It's right. Pretty, even if you have the Force to help, galaxies are fucking big. I'm pretty sure other ones could hang out and find places to hide and stuff.
But did all galaxies have Jedi? You know? Like, I mean, you could make a case that if there was a... There could be like a far enough. I think I agree with you on the bigness. There might be a place where there's another religion that's like Jedi's that has similar power that's so far away. But like, you could know that all the Jedi's are in a certain spot because that's where the whole religion spread from, and it didn't get so far. It just didn't happen to.
Yeah,
Ryan,
that's my explanation on how that could be true.
Shut up, Ryan.
Sure. yeah, I mean that's
don't
wrong.
Mess
but
with
it's a good
Adam's
idea.
Adam's Star Wars
because they do talk about the what do they call it, the core worlds and the what's the other ones,
the outer rim
worlds. That implies that they go towards the outer rim of a galaxy, which is pretty fucking big,
right?
I don't know. So where do you want it? I heard about where they could do. Where do you want it?
If there's a bright center of the galaxy, I wanted a planet farthest from it.
Yes.
I want it in between. I want the basically they talk in Force Awakens, they say Maz Kanata has been around for like 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. I want her like basically regaling adventures throughout the last 10,000 years of the world.
Okay.
And then you can do a cool anthology series where everything's slightly connected, but it's like individual stories. She can even have two-part stories, three-part stories. But I want I think it'd be fun to do cool stuff like, oh, this is like a about some bounty hunters. This is about the Hutts. This is about this. They can tell stories about individual factions and stuff and groups that were doing their own thing. You could literally call it Star Wars Legends, and you could have all the non-canon stuff as stories told throughout history that may or may not be true, and then you could say, hey, look at all this. Remember when Chewbacca... It was hanging out with like Luke's mom, and you'd be like, "What?" And it was all just—it's all the old bastardized. Like they could take all the novels that Adam loves so much, and then say that they may or may not have happened. She's just telling stories.
Okay, what else? Who else? Adam, where do you want these movies? This just show.
Didn't I say that already?
No, you said they could do this or they could do this.
I would say Old Republic. Okay. I would say the Old Republic.
Sure, it's kind of like high fantasy stuff. That's cool. I like it.
Yeah. Correct.
Dave, what about you?
I was in the camp of the Old Republic. I think there's a lot of stuff that they could play around there, especially like the different styles of the Jedi, how they were kind of the peacekeepers, You know, a little bit what you kind of see at the beginning of episode one, Qui-Gon. But, you know, just kind of patrolling the galaxy and maybe a buddy cop maybe a buddy cop series with two Jedi or something like that. Sorry, Adam.
All right. Ryan, I know you have the most vested interest in this. Where would you like to see a Star Wars show going?
I think if they, you know, brought back Jar Jar, it would be such a fucking freak out fest that it'd be hilarious. It might be worth it. It might be worth it.
Sometimes I hate Ryan.
We all do.
He was such a fun guy, you know. I mean, I
might as well bring back the midichlorians too, Ryan.
Yep, bring those.
Oh yeah, the future. Yeah, the future where they figure out the science behind it and destroy all the magic. It's like, actually, it's pretty easy.
Jar Jar's back and he's got a syringe full of midichlorians to make himself the most powerful Sith user in the world.
I actually don't know, but I think there's a lot of interesting stuff. Honestly, but I don't really have a spot I would like in more particular than others.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's hard to go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could, but we'll see.
Well, it's easy to go wrong, but not necessarily a time selection reason you'd go wrong.
Right.
It would be a content reason you'd go wrong. Like, right. What you...
Well, I'm just thinking of all the Marvel shows right now and stuff and how some people don't care for certain ones, and it's like... 10 years ago, that would have been impossible. Be like, what? You get to watch more of the Marvel Universe on TV? That's awesome. But some of them now are just like, eh. So, you know, well, that might also be like a thing that after time it kind of fades. Whatever, so, all right, cool. So we'll see. We'll see when that comes out. What else is going on?
Speaking of Marvel, Jessica Jones dropped today.
Today.
Oh, did
season
it?
Season 2.
It certainly yep. did.
All of it did?
What's yeah. National Women's Day or whatever? Of course it's coming out today.
That's exactly why they dropped it today instead of tomorrow. So that's out, and then they announced Luke Cage Season 2 in June?
Do you have to bring your own pillows to sleep through it, or will they provide pillows for you? Because I got to tell you, I struggled to get through season one, man. I think they had like 6 good episodes, and then I was like, what's happening? Oh, there's a new bad evil.
It's like they hit the denouement in like episode 7, but we still had 6 more to go. You're like, who's the bad guy now?
Do you remember what's he's got a brother? On? Woo!
I was going to say they shot their load a little too early, but Dave beat me to it in a more PC fashion.
I don't know. I really liked the feel of it for the first couple of six episodes. Then I got bored as fuck. Right.
Yeah. Even this image here where it's like the video image where it has a picture of him like sitting in the barber chair leaning back and looking at you, it's like so boring. It's like literally the most boring way to the show.
It is.
I'm
awesome.
In a chair in a barber shop still.
That's awesome.
Yep. Sorry. I didn't like it that much. Yeah.
If you watch it, it's kind of like, alright, you're going to come at me? Well, here I am. You can't kill me, you can't burn me, you can't do this, and it's just like, alright. I mean, I'll watch it. So,
well, I'm sure
you know me.
It, but I'm sure I'm sure Amy won't watch it with me. That's one we just won't do together. But that's kind of right. That is kind of the problem with Luke Cage, right? He's kind of invincible until you make these bullets that can kind of hurt him.
Yeah, when they put him in a coma and they couldn't get the bullet out, or when Jessica Jones hit him so hard enough that that put him in a coma.
I do feel like comic books do a good job of like being really creative about that kind of stuff. Like, for example, I could imagine, I don't read comic books, but I hear through osmosis through Dave things that come out of comic books, and like they come up with ways of dealing with this shit. Like, he would probably get trapped and like tied up. Well, you're invincible, well, what about if you can't move? You're not dead, but you can't move, so you're neutralized. Like, the villains and they seem to come out with ways around things pretty well, which I like about comic books, because they're like, this is a problem, let's fix that in the next thing I write. All
right. Right. But, yeah, I mean, then they always go like, well, now I, because it's all like, hey, yeah, bullets can't hurt you, this can't hurt you, what do you still, and then you go, someone goes, yeah, but you still need to breathe.
Yeah, and then they just, I knew you were going there.
Yeah. It's like they just go like, oh, cool. Now we just encase you in something and take away the oxygen. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, how do you kill the invincible man kind of scenario? So yeah. Okay. There you go.
You encase Wolverine in it.
Yes, like an unbreakable thing. So sure, you can heal him there, but he's stuck.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I guess. I don't know. I still got to get through Punisher. I haven't started Punisher.
Yeah. I made it through about 2 episodes of Punisher. And,
I mean, some people have told me it's really good. Somebody told me it was their best. They thought it was the best Marvel show on Netflix. I'm going to give it a shot. I just, for some reason, it wasn't one that appealed to me. I don't know why.
It is slow. It's a slow build, slow burn. It's more character building than the other one. Daredevil's still my favorite.
That's because you're sexist. Jessica Jones, that's amazing. Totally. She hits people hard and drinks all the time. That's what she does. And she has coffee sometimes.
With bourbon.
Right.
With bourbon. Speaking of other Netflix shows, Netflix is bringing back Lost in Space.
It actually looks interesting.
So instead of a crappy movie, we're going to get a whole series. Yeah,
that actually might be decent.
The robot is reimaged. He looks pretty cool.
I don't remember Lost in Space. I remember of it. Danger. But I don't danger. Remember anything about danger, it.
It's because you weren't alive in danger. the '60s, or whatever it was.
Yeah, what was it about?
We would have caught it on repeat. Every now and then, but yeah.
Like on a sci-fi channel, maybe. Right. If you watch then, it.
But that, even that's back later on.
Matthew basically, Perry yeah. Like a super well-trained family, you know,
it's like be Voyager. Like
the first colonists, you know, to start setting up a colony. So they're on the first ship to go out. Something happens, they get thrown way off course. They have to survive and stuff like that.
It's like Voyager, Ryan.
It's not a 120 people or whatever Voyager.
And there's an evil doctor. There's like 6 of them, and there's an evil doctor and a robot.
There's the synopsis for you. Pretty much what Dave just said, but in words.
Oh, okay. I'll stick with Dave.
I don't.
It hurts to read.
Reading hard.
Anybody watching anything new on Netflix or any other shows that you started or giving a shot to?
I've been watching Defiance.
Defiance?
From sci-fi. Yeah. So it is, it was a sci-fi show. I'm watching Amazon Prime. And the premise is it's post-alien invasion war. Bunch of two alien races that are warring with each other show up on Earth to take over the planet, terraform it. The humans fight back. The world gets terraformed, and now the 3 alien races are trying to coexist on the planet. And it takes place in what was St. Louis, Missouri, but it's called Defiance. So, kind of interesting so far.
Okay,
pretty cool.
Anybody else?
I started watching Britannia.
Oh, what is that? I heard good things about it, actually.
You say the word Britannia, and...
I've heard good things about it.
I have it sitting in my Amazon queue waiting.
Yeah, I'm sitting on... It's interesting. I think it's good. They do some magic in there. They do some, like, Celtic, like, god stuff. And then they got the Romans, so... It's pretty cool that way. I recommend it. It's shot very well. It looks pretty.
Okay.
Isn't it supposed to be like the Romans trying to take over?
Yeah, the Romans are trying to take over the Celtic land and make them into... Yeah. And they rebel. I've only got probably 4 episodes in, but...
Okay. I'll watch it, and I'll see how unhistorical it is, and I'll give it time. And I'll see.
Well, yeah.
Did anybody
like
watch...
There are a bunch of...
Sorry, go ahead.
Druid. No, you can...
Did anybody watch or start watching that 90s show, Everything Sucks? It's on Netflix.
That's the one you said was good until the end, so then I just said not...
Nope. Thinking of
isn't that
show.
The one?
Nope.
Okay.
That was
End of the Fucking World or something.
Oh, yeah, End of the Fucking World or something like that. This is a show that's supposed to be shot in like 96 or something. And I watched the first episode. The reason is, I mean, Amy wanted to watch it, and it's getting good reviews. It's the 90s. We're supposed to know a lot about the 90s. We're supposed to be nostalgic for the 90s. And I watched the first episode. It was fine. I just could not get by the fact that they used the same formula for characters as Stranger Things. You got the black kid, you got the geeky white kid, you got the curly-haired fro-Jew kid. And they're best friends, and they run around together doing geeky stuff and nerd stuff. And I'm like, did you guys just take those characters and put them in the 90s and change them a little bit? And it just totally rubbed me off. It was great.
Can't be rugged off the wrong way. There's no wrong way.
Three boys rubbed me off. It was great. But I don't know. I'll give it a shot. But so far, just that first episode, I was like, come on, guys. Try harder. Yeah.
You could go to the History Channel and watch Alone. It's very good. Very good. Survival show. I recommend it to everybody who loves survival shows like me.
Do they tie a lot of knots?
They tie knots. They build shelters. They hunt and fish. It's like, so they go out and they go as long as they can, and they get to bring supplies is the difference. But then they have to, like, sustain. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I will not watch that.
You think anything is translated so that you have some survival skills now?
Yeah, I could survive for a million years from all the survival shows I've watched.
Million years? Could you
survive? Yeah, because that's the sci-fi stuff, too. So there's a mixture of programming, sci-fi, singularity. It's all part of my program.
The only thing I think would happen, Ryan would be, like, working hard. He'd be like, yeah, I know this. And all of a sudden, he'll get a blister on his hands. He'd be like, curse you, soft hands.
I'm working into that.
I can see it.
I'll train ahead of time.
To be a programmer? I can see it.
That can change. Yeah. Atypical is another show I watched on Netflix. I'm about halfway through. It's pretty good. It's about an autistic kid who wants to date. It's pretty fun.
like a typical what?
Atypical.
Oh, so atypical. I was like,
there's typical and there's atypical. It's good. It's fine.
It's a matter of spacing. Atypical or atypical.
Exactly. As anything, it's the side characters that make it good. Who's that? Who's the dad in that? You can see from the picture. He's on the right there. I think he's a comedian, or maybe you would probably know him if you saw him.
It was the guy. It looks like the guy that was in like that TV or that feature show Boston.
Oh, that's what's his face? He was in that that movie in college with the white guy goes crazy and shoots all the black guys.
So it's starring Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That's the mom.
Oh, Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's he in that I recognize him from? He's got to be in something, because there's something that I recognize him from.
He was on Friends.
Oh, yeah, Higher Learning. No, he was on Friends. He was that one dude on Friends, wasn't he? Yeah,
he was the cop when
the smelly ball cop.
When Phoebe found the badge, was all like, "Cop, hey, you know, it's like that's my badge."
I remember
he's
that.
He's like,
okay.
How'd you find me? I'm a cop.
Yeah, he's fun. I'm sure he's been in other things, but that's where I recognize him from. So,
boom, Higher Learning career, John Singleton, Michael Rapaport. Yep.
Alright. That's a good show, though. I'm enjoying it. I stayed up kind of too late watching episodes of it, so.
Oh, he was in My Name is Earl.
I never really watched that much.
Oh, yeah, Boston Public. He was the teacher.
Oh, he was in that show, wasn't he? I watched a season of that back in the day.
Three seasons worth. 57 episodes. For clarification, Ryan.
Thanks.
Sounds legit.
Too legit to quit.
He was in Prison Break as well.
I didn't watch that show.
Neither did I.
Then we definitely would not recognize him.
You can recognize the two main characters in Prison Break because they were on Legends of Tomorrow, basically playing themselves from that show.
That's true.
Except one guy had an accent.
He was Joey Leone in Grand Theft Auto 3. He's not the cousin guy, was he? Because that's the only thing I know is cousin!
No, that was 4.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
He was in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in 1993.
One episode.
He was a drug dealer.
IMDb is our friend.
He's white. There was no white drug dealers in the 90s. We didn't know. We blamed everything on the black man.
He was also in Murphy Brown in 92.
Yeah.
Wow, he had to be like a little kid then.
He's an old man.
All right, cool. Okay, what else is happening?
For those who need to know, the Player's Handbook is on sale on Amazon. Half price.
Which one? The D&D Player's Handbook?
Yeah, the D&D's Player's Handbook.
Oh,
on Amazon.
It's the third best-selling book on Amazon.
It's actually pretty tempting given that they fall apart and mine has.
You can return yours to Wizards and they will replace it.
Really? Do they have like a customer service? Do they have a house or something that you go to?
Yeah, go down to the corner of Hillcrest and Slant, and you'll find it.
Call their customer service line. They'll give you directions on how to send it in, and
the directions
replace
will be...
it because the first run had binding issues.
I think what they'll say is that in order to, the instructions will say you have to cast a spell from each of the 7 spell schools onto the envelope, and then it'll magically appear at our warehouse.
And they'll say, "Go fuck yourself, buy a new one."
Oh, that's funny.
No, they still post about it quite a bit on Twitter.
Oh, really? So that's actually kind of interesting. I should do that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great service announcement there, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
For all our friends out there. Speaking of RPGs.
We don't have any friends out there.
Right.
Paizo decided that we can't keep up with the Wizards and D&D, and so we're going to backtrack, and we actually are going to do a new edition of Pathfinder.
Yep. Ooh, how's that? Is that well received? It seems like you're irritated by it, but...
I don't care.
It's in beta right now.
It's in playtest right now. You can sign up and get copies and help them playtest. I watched the announcement. It's like a 5-minute video. And they talk about how they're streamlining the math and balancing the classes. And
are they going to do 5th edition? They're like, no, it's great. It's 5th edition.
It sounds like... it does sound a little bit like that.
We're going to make it so it speeds up combat.
It's like, everybody's like, even again, and then we'll change it later. Aww. Change it about because we'll realize it sucks. Huh.
It is a little weird because in some ways Pathfinder was the opposite in a way. I guess it has the niche of having all the rules and all the different options. And now to streamline it, you're going head on with D&D.
Pathfinder was a response to the fact that Wizards moved to 4th edition, which was
that was garbage.
Rails,
right?
Off the rails, weird, and people wanted garbage. Their nostalgia, so they kept it the way it is. And now that 5th edition has kind of brought it back, and it's a little bit easier to jump in and learn and do it. You know, they're seeing a shift in their market heading back to Wizards D&D. So, yeah. They got to do something.
I don't know. I feel like the current D&D is just as difficult to get into as Pathfinder, or they're both just as easy. I don't know. I find this strange. It feels they need money. It feels like they want money.
Well, they're
not selling enough of them combat pads.
But like Pathfinder is more complicated. There's like for every rule, there's just tons of rules,
right,
and it's partially due
to
the
time, right?
Well, that's the question to get into versus like. Maybe they're both easy to get into, but Pathfinder has way more depth and more player options, I guess.
And that's what I always thought was their niche. Like, why would you go away from what your niche is if people just go play D&D? I mean, they don't need to.
I know. I get it. It's weird. It's a fair question.
Yeah, but 4th edition had such they had a lot of rules.
So. Yeah, 4th edition fucked up because they're like, everybody's evil. Everybody's equal.
Right. Everyone has...
Everybody can do the same thing.
At-wills, dailies, encounters, stuff
That sucked. You know what? It felt like they were trying to make a video game. Like, how can we make a video game into a role play, into a paper mat? People like video games, right? Let's make that into that. I'm like,
So I'm looking at the actual site now, and... So their plan is to produce 3 books or 3 physical things that you can purchase. You can get the downloads for free. No, it's a Pathfinder playtest rule book. It's a massive 400-page rule book. Contains everything. Pathfinder Playtest Adventure, a 96-page super adventure, and then the Pathfinder Playtest Flip Mat Multi-Pack. You can order these between March 20th and May 1st, and everything will launch on August 2nd of 2008. And then they'll actually have physical copies at the Paizo booth during Gen Con that you can get from there.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going back to Pathfinder, sorry. I don't think I will be going back to Pathfinder.
But they're redoing some magic systems, Ron.
I like that. I do like that. I actually like the idea of seeing a new, you know, see a new way of looking at things. That's fun. But I sort of with Chris in the sense where, I don't know, you want to play something enough to, like, get the most out of it, but you almost have to reinvest in everything to start over. And that's really, and it's not just invest from a cash perspective, which it is a cash perspective, but it's also from like a learning perspective. Like, hey, everybody, forget everything you've learned for a while, and here's a whole set of new rules, and they're a little bit weird, and there's going to be some. That's a big investment.
Mm-hmm.
Also, let's hope the appendix on that thing is way better than D&D one.
That's one place, that one thing I would pay for is a better fucking appendix than your stupid ass books.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see. Something they've done is basically there is no move action, attack action, bonus action, kind of stuff like that. Basically, every turn you get three actions. What you use them for is what you use them for. So,
okay.
You just have three actions. Initiative is based on what you're doing at the time that the attack happens. If you're stealthing through there, you have no initiative roll. You basically roll an initiative roll off of your stealth roll. Would be so that, or if you are searching for something, you would roll it off perception at the time that the encounter happens.
That seems much more streamlined. What?
Right.
Well, I was saying they got rid of initiative and replaced it with a relevant skill.
Oh. Right. All of the varied systems and formulas for determining your character's bonuses and statistics, like saving throws, attack bonuses, and skills, have been unified in a single, easy-to-use proficiency system based on your choices and your character's level. You no longer need to collect a specific set of magic items to be a balanced character, relying on specific magical statistic bonuses. Instead, you get all your bonuses from your regular armor and weapons, allowing the rest of your items to be truly balanced.
I'm hearing a lot of balance things. You can balance yourself if you want just by having a proficiency in acrobatics.
That actually sounds a lot like 4th edition. When they leveled, like, as you got stronger, you were like, everything went up by, like, your level.
Yeah.
Did it do that? It basically did that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. That's why everybody was very similar, because everything evened out. And no matter what you were good at, you could use that as your thing. So that did damage, or did... Yeah, it was... alright.
Did you read any of those old books you got that were like the original D&D basic rule stuff?
I've
like,
read them, yeah.
I'm just kind of curious how they read now. Do they seem like totally... like so hard to understand what they mean that they're no good or
no they're good. It's just it seems like if you didn't have anything, it's great, right? So when they came out, you didn't have anything, so it's like, holy shit, what do I got to do here? I got to take my d20, subtract their armor class from my d20, add, and then see if the d20 roll is equal to or higher than the, you know, right. Unless their armor class is negative, then I got to add it to the d20. So if you didn't have anything, it's fine. But yeah, there's definitely simpler ways of doing it.
Okay. See, I don't know if they're simplifying it, because I mean, it's interesting. Like magic, they're saying like basically most spells take two actions to cast, but there are some spells that only take one. Magic Missile, for example, you can cast using one of three actions, but if you cast it using more actions, you can gain more effects on it. So that's interesting. Like, you know, so there's interesting things like, you know, you're taking a longer time to cast a spell so it does more things. Huh. And
there's going to be backgrounds.
Right. Of course, backgrounds are easy to do.
And 10th level spells.
Ooh. See, now I got to buy it.
Right.
and they did, instead of using the word race, they're using ancestries.
Oh. Okay.
That's actually interesting. That implies to me you don't need to have races that are your race might not imply your abilities or your
I thought that would be.
See, well they have. That's our fucking raceless or whatever. If you want dark vision and you're a human, then you have a underground ancestry. See, they're fucking stealing our shit, guys.
That's good though. Damn. I like that. I mean, good for them. Somebody's got to share the truth.
Yeah, because the lines blur eventually.
Right. Yes.
And they're blurred making and they're like making reactions important. Like monsters and classes will have different things they can do with the reaction, making each combat less predictable and more exciting. Like red dragon might be able to, if you cast a fire spell near a red dragon, it might be able to redirect because it's immune to fire. It might be able to redirect that fire spell towards your guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's on cool. The DM though. DM should be able to figure that shit out if they want to ask.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like they're taking players' hand or DM stuff. And just making it so the players know that the DM should be able to do stuff. Hey, DM, why aren't you doing this cool thing that that I can do?
Star Wars. Let's play Star Wars. That'd be my response. Okay, I look forward to it coming out and like looking at it, because it's always fun to look at alternate things, like even, you know, the... what do you call it? Fuck, I forget. The mythos system.
Colonial Gothic.
Right, I was trying to think it's the system that it's on. Colonial Gothic is the setting. So, I was talking about the actual setting system that it sits on. So, which is
that is called was it a Savage Worlds?
Yeah,
no, it was different.
No, it was different. You're right. It was different.
Yeah. It's on a mythos system, I believe, is the mythos or something like that. But it's always fun to see those different systems, and like even the fucking Cthulhu ones or whatever. Or no, Shadowrun. Shadowrun's cool. It's got pips, and it uses pips. That's interesting to look at and think about, and maybe incorporate into your world.
Right. Although a lot of times I'm thinking the problem, I don't know. They're all sort of similar. But I was thinking sometimes you can do the things that you want out of any edition in whatever you're playing. So, like, I keep thinking it'd be fun if you just had to figure out what abilities you want to get when you level up. Like, you just have to fabricate them. You make them up yourself. And they should be reasonable. But I'm guessing if you came up with reasonable things and you just made them up and you said, Chris, this is what I want my things to be, he'd probably be like, yeah, all right, seems reasonable.
It does seem reasonable.
You know?
I'll allow it.
Like a feat that Ryan could take to let him concentrate on two spells.
Fuck yeah, Fiddlesnit. I mean, Fiddle thought would be amazing and awesome. You should take it. Do it.
Ryan, take it. Yeah, all of a sudden you just become way more. Ryan will take it and try and break it.
That's okay, he'll lose. Lost in Space trailer. I didn't even see the Lost in Space trailer. I saw it was there, I just didn't see the trailer. So it looks pretty neat, you're saying?
It looks interesting. It's like, it looks more serious than campy. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks better than the movie.
But
well, that was real.
Is there going to be
anything's better than the movie?
Is there going to be a girl who misses kissing on Earth and chocolate?
I remember that with her fucking
emo girl.
The movie. That's one of the lines in the movie. She's like, "I miss everything from Earth. I miss kissing and chocolate and kissing."
Who says that?
They made a movie, a Lost in Space movie, in the late 15 years ago, maybe? 90s?
Yeah,
it was late 90s.
It was really poorly written.
Really?
Yeah, so the basic gun, that one, basically, they built a giant portal, right, that would slingshot the ship to the other side of the Earth, or the other side of the galaxy, and what they would do is then when they get there, they would start the automated process of building the other side of the portal over there. So they were flung, like, without the other side of the gate. And then they were basically building the other side of the gate so that they would make a stable wormhole that would transport people there.
1998.
But it failed.
Of course, it always fails. Because Gary Oldman was in it. And Gary Oldman at that time was the quintessential villain that would show up and make everything go wrong. He would get people off, he would try and take over the president's plane.
He would get people off?
Yeah, just like those three boys. And it looks very pretty. I'll tell you that. So that's cool.
Right.
I like pretty stuff.
Ryan, they made a robot that solves a Rubik's Cube in 0.38 seconds.
Damn.
That's pretty cool.
To the point that it goes fast enough that spins fast, so fast that the cube just goes and explodes because it spins so fast.
Really? That's pretty funny. So they have to slow it down so that... that's pretty hilarious.
Actually, I think there was a comment below that they bought, like, because people are like, that's not a Rubik's Cube. And they're like, hey, we bought the cheapest cube we could get on Amazon because we bought like a ton of them, thinking we'd break a whole bunch of them, but they only broke like four.
Right.
But.
Oh, yeah. It looks like they, when they turn, when they're not lined up, they turn with enough force to stress it.
I thought this was all part of a program, like, only, but they're actually doing it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Those are fun. I like those.
Yeah, I do like the fact that robots are learning.
I don't like that at all.
I do.
I think that one day you're going to come to eat those words as you're sucking a robot dog.
I don't think they care.
Yeah, somebody is going to be dumb and be like, I'm going to put in that they love get their robot dog sucked.
Yeah, but then they're gonna know that that is a dumb program that's worthless for them to have.
It's in their base code. They can't know. It's just there. It's going to be a dystopian future as robots chase man around trying to get them to go down on their robot dog. All because of your hubris, Ryan. All because of your hubris.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
But, that is cool.
And what else? Oh, comics, they're basically making it the dark version of DC stuff. Yes. I saw that. That was pretty funny.
What does that mean? So, I saw your link there.
So imagine regular comics take place in effectively a PG-13 universe. This is basically letting you make R-rated comic books, but still take place in the same universe.
It's technically going to be kind of outside of the universe. In essence, they've gone to their all-star comic writers and have said, you have free reign. Tell whatever story you want. You don't have to worry about what's currently going on with the comics or what we're currently writing. Just come up with anything you want, much like what Frank Miller did with Dark Knight Returns or Watchmen. You have free reign. Just write. And the first one that's coming out is Superman Year One in August. But
the Wonder Woman cover looks fucking cool.
That is a cool picture.
I was like, who's that? Oh shit. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. So I see what you're saying, Dave, though, that it's the same universe, but it's not really the same.
It's the same universe
in aspect that everything's the same as it is now, but it's not in this universe. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It was more right on that one.
That makes sense, though.
But, I mean, you could do crazy shit. You could do, like, Superman doing his shit. You can do, like, Superman a million, which they kind of did already. But, like...
Can you show Superman blowing a whole load through a girl's back?
I don't know, like, how dark they're letting it go.
It said black. Damn it, black is the darkest you can get.
I do think that's kind of cool. I wonder what the average age of the comic book reader is. Has it increased?
Actually, I don't know. I bet it has.
Because it reminds me of like the Harry Potter stories, where they started out like super near cartoon, and then they became pretty damn dark, and that traveled with a demographic that was hooked on it. And if the comic book demographic has grown older, they might like to have some like serious darker stuff because it's kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah.
They've got two Wonder Woman stories, but they have and two Batman stories. Did you read the synopsis of Batman Last Night on Earth?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Batman wakes up in a desert. He doesn't know what year it is or how the Joker's head is alive in a jar beside him. But it's the beginning of a quest unlike anything the Dark Knight has undertaken before. Like, it's a strange future. People are fighting, and the Joker's head is alive in a jar. It's got Futurama written all over it, Adam.
Weird. I do like Futurama. It's like my number two favorite show.
There's just anecdotal evidence from comic shops I was reading that said that 35 is like their average customer these days. Mm. So it's funny. We opened in 1988 next to three high schools, a bunch of elementary schools, and now our average customer is like 35.
Smart. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Because kids got other distractions, right? I mean, right. There's the distraction of the day, and I think you sort of stick with the thing that you really love for a long time. And, you know, people stick with it, you know.
So this brings up an interesting question I want your guys' opinion on. Because it's going to affect you all eventually at one point, hopefully. Is that a lot of kids these days don't have friends that are not digital friends eventually. Like, as they get older, they start playing outside and playing with actual physical friends less and less, and you become more reliant on your digital friends, and that those become who you hang out with. So eventually you lose track of the... I mean, even us, if you think about it. I mean, we're older, but most people don't get together once a week like we do. Most people just don't.
That's true.
And if we didn't, we would spend most of our time communicating digitally like we are now. And that's just amplified by kids because that's what they grow up in their culture. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is it just a different thing? Is it different, good or bad, based on what we think? Or what are your thoughts? Because this is going to happen. Your kids are going to get older. They're going to be... I mean, they're probably already in the digital landscape. So, I mean, my kids, I know, already have Facebook pages and shit, so...
Is that due to your influence or somebody else?
They just
woke
up one day and they're like, hey, let me set this shit up. Man.
Well,
taking selfies.
My thought, hey, ladies. My thought is,
looking my for thought twins is, that like if, the party.
If we had this technology, you know, 35 years ago, would we be using it? Or, like, how would it... Yeah, so... I forgot where I was going.
Okay.
I don't know if it's either good or bad, but it will be... It will transform things significantly. So for when we're old and used to a certain way, it'll probably seem bad. Like, people may have social awkwardness and certain quirks that come from being sort of social digitally, if you will. But I think that'll be, like, the norm. So that it'll just be... I think there'll be weird side effects, but bad, good? I don't know. It'll be on our evolution to, like, cyborg humans or something, I think. But is that bad? I don't know. It's more, like, totally different. You know? But I think that's pretty interesting, is that the norms from, like, 20 years ago, it's just totally different world. And it's going to seem bad to people that are the people that remember fondly the ways things were done, because they're going to be like, "What I want to get together and play board games," and they're like, you know, because it was fun, and they're like, "Board games? It's terrible. Nobody plays board games. There's board games on your phone, and you know, whatever."
That's board games are for babies.
So what you're saying, Ryan, is it's up to us five kings to make sure that we pass some laws that gets kids outside, gets kids together with their friends playing games.
I don't think we need laws for that. What we'll do is we'll offer incentives. Well,
incentives. The incentive is, if you don't want to lose a finger, you will follow the recommendation of the king.
Oh, no, there'll be no negatives for not doing it. That's a punishment. Basically, if you go outside...
It's also an incentive from another way.
It's also an incentive. But I know you're saying positive incentives.
You get all the snack cakes you want if you play D&D.
Bro, well, that's the name. Welcome to my lands. Snack cakes flow like water.
It's funny. Amy came down looking for snack cakes the other day. She's like, I need some chocolate. We got no chocolate in the house because you don't fucking eat chocolate. I'm going to find some snack cakes. I was like, I'm pretty sure those live in Dave's car. She's like, God damn it! I need some snack cakes.
That's awesome. Funny.
Like, Amazon will bring you snack cakes.
Yeah, it was too late for that. Yeah, I don't know if one is better.
It's
or
never too
better.
Late for snack cakes.
I don't know if one is better or worse. It's definitely just different, and it might seem better or worse based on the generation that's talking about it. Or maybe there's health consequences. I don't know. I think it's very interesting that, like, we were recently up in Hibbing, and there are several groups of parents whose kids are older, like in their teenage years, and they don't really have friends. They don't really go outside that much. They just go online and hang out with their digital friends, which is... I hear it all the time now. It becomes very, very normal. Just different
strange.
From what we did.
Well, you're trading computers for, like, back in the day, we had TV. So...
Yeah, but we still went outside. We still had neighbor kids that we We'd go play baseball with at the local, you know, down at the park or whatever.
That's because there was only like 2 hours of cartoons on ever.
Okay, good point. Now there's not. Now there's a billion because every day another movie comes out, and you're never going to be able to watch them all. Same thing with TV content and stuff and video games.
You don't even have to go there. Just go to like skip all the professionally done stuff. You could watch amateur YouTube videos endlessly, and that's.
Every kid wants their own YouTube channel.
Maybe it'll be like a it'll go the other way. Maybe it'll like the next generation will be like, you know what? I like going outside. Going outside's cool, man. Like this previous one will be like the one where it's all like, oh man, I love all my YouTube shit. I love this stuff. And then the next one will be the one like, you know what, man? I just want a simpler life. Sure, all this stuff is great like if you need it, but I kind of like just going outside and doing this very simplistic thing of playing or doing this, and it might be like, you know, back and forth. It might not be.
Yeah, what you're talking about is rejection of the normal, and that's actually like a lot of middle 30s, 30-somethings are doing that right now, where they're like, I'm going back to flip phones because I don't want to be on my phone constantly. I don't need it. I'm just going to be on a flip phone, and I'm going to spend most of my time communicating with people by calling them and talking to them. And yeah, that definitely can come around. You're right. It could. These next generation might be like, I grew up watching my parents constantly stare at a phone, and fuck that. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. It's weird. I want to. In some ways, it's technology. I also think it's. You could call it like there's a new boom in options and choice.
Boom.
Like, it's of the nature of the like digital things is that you have access to it. It's at your fingertips. So when you start doing something, you pick your game you love. You may find friends, and they may be far away. But there's so many of these different. You know, communities. Where back when we were younger, there was like a literal community, like where you would go outside and you would see people because they're near you. But now there's this. Now it's sort of infinite. You know what I mean? So I think it might be less the technology and more the fact that there's infinite choice. But it's weird too. Like even with like the dating stuff, it's really interesting how that's already. Changed hugely.
Tell us about your dating life.
Well, my dating life is non-existent, but back when I did that, it was before like the Match.com and all the dating sites and, you know, Grindr, Adam, you know, all these different sites that you could use to, you know, that's people do it totally different now. Like my brother was talking about how it is, and I'm talking to a guy at work how it is, and it's so weird. Like you go on your constantly dating multiple people at the same time, and if you start to really like someone, you kind of like tell the other ones like, hey, I'm actually kind of dating this other person more now, so I'm just not gonna, like, that's just weird, isn't it? Like that would not happen typically. Like you'd be like some sort of player back in the day. You're juggling three chicks, you know. Now it's like, oh, it's expected you're juggling three chicks, and just tell me when you're serious about me and then we'll agree to not juggle the other three, you know. It's weird.
Ryan?
Yes, sir?
What's Grindr?
Grindr. Nice try, Adam. I see you right through.
Well, no, we heard about it, but we didn't know what it was, so if you could let us know.
Google it.
Okay, I just thought I'd get you guys' opinion, because it's coming a lot sooner than you think it is, that this whole thing about kids and shit, so yeah. Yay. What else? What else is new in the world of episode 100? Or is that it?
No. Adam, man, come on. What are you building with 3D? Printing. What are you...
Nothing,
come on.
Right? No.
What? Ugh. Yeah, I guess you get 3D print. Get out of here. We only want the 3D printing king.
I'm in a manufacturing class, so I'm doing like... I'm making a vise. Out of metal. And milling it and lathing it and like all that fun stuff.
I got some advice for you. Why don't you 3D print something?
Yeah, boom.
Why is there instructions on how to armbar a kangaroo on here?
Just in case a kangaroo, because kangaroos are gonna box, man. They're known for their boxing skills.
That's true.
Oh, so you have to shoot it on them.
No, you got to ground and pound.
It's pretty good.
right. I'm just making sure.
There's also instructions on how to arm or how to wrestle a hippo, a bear, and a gorilla.
Well, okay, hippos, have fun, not have...
I think I saw like, one where, like, you're like, it's like, shoot in, do this, and then get, then realize you're dead because the bear ate you 5 minutes ago.
It's
yeah. The gorilla.
Oh, it's the gorilla, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Mary Poppins is coming back? What's that about?
It's fucking not. Mary Poppins, bro. It looks Mary very Poppins, Mary Poppins-y.
What is it? Tell me.
It is like a sequel.
Are the Banks children going to be all grown up?
I think it's further ahead in time.
Like
the Banks grandchildren,
they still have like 1930s cars, like in the commercials and chimney sweepers.
Oh,
I'm Mary Poppins, yo.
So it's either Cuba or it's in the past,
right?
Speaking of which, can do that where they keep the setting like time frame the same but move forward. Otherwise, in time, the time in the Mary Poppins universe does not have to move forward.
That would be really confusing to me. What year is it? No. 1985. Why do you have 1930 car?
This is the same damn.
It's a hot rod. It's a
Riverdale, one of the best shows on television.
Sure.
Is an example
time
of that.
You
where
come around, no, it's about not. Time you come around to my CW.
Yeah, the CW. Seriously. But, no. You know, I mean, they're funny. They got like, old-school cars and, like, certain things, like old TVs, and then they're talking about Netflix and Twitter and stuff like that.
What?
During the show.
Everything pretty much up to date, and then they have, like, nostalgia shit that they throw in there.
Yeah, no, but there's a mixture of old things, for sure. They throw a lot of it in there, so it's like a mixture of old and new. It's true.
I guess. I think you're wrong. But all right.
And it works. It works.
It's just that stuff surprises Ryan. He doesn't expect to see that kind of stuff.
CW does
what he's very wants. Modern.
But no, I want to know more. Tell me more about Mary Todd Poppins. It's very near and dear to my heart, this bitch.
Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
It's true. And who's playing Mary Poppins? Because she can't. They can't replace my girl. There's no way.
Emily Blunt.
That sure, she's fine, but that's not my girl.
Okay. Well, what if they show a scene of her going like regenerating, like the fucking Doctor in Doctor Who?
I'm in. You fucking do that. I am in all the way.
That'd be really funny.
So, Mary Poppins is actually like a Time Lord.
That's okay, fine.
I solved every show's problem. It's like whenever they need to recast but keep the same characters and stuff like that, they just say that they're all take place in the Doctor Who universe and they're all Time Lords.
That's fine.
You want the summary? Here's the summary. In Depression-era London, a now-grown Jane and Michael Banks, along with Michael's three children, are visited by the enigmatic Mary Poppins following a personal loss. Through her unique magical skills and with the aid of her friend, quote, friend, Jack, she helps the family rediscover the joy and wonder missing in their lives.
Interesting. Okay. See? So we got continuity. We got Banks, people going forward. I'm in. You're good. And she's a Time Lord. Let's do it.
Right. And then they got the fucking Hamilton guy, too.
They do?
That Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, we should talk about that. So everybody saw the interview with Jimmy Fallon, right?
No. Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, so Weird Al made a parody of this called the Hamilton Polka, I believe.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I had it saved on my Facebook. I haven't watched it yet.
Who's the guy's name? Lin-Manuel Miranda or whatever?
Lin-Manuel.
He's a huge Weird Al Yankovic fan. So was Jimmy Fallon. So when they had him on there, like, they were both, like, just fucking geeking out about Weird Al. And like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. It's amazing. And then they lip-sync his polka to all three of them. And I have never had an interest in seeing Hamilton in my life. I'm like, I'm sure it's good. Everybody says it's good. Fine. I'm not – whatever. But just this interview made me want to go see Hamilton so I could understand the song better, the polka better.
Really?
It was that cool.
You got to take your shot.
Yeah, because I don't know anything. You know, I'm sure it has. I'm sure the music is perfect for Hamilton. That's why everybody loves it. But if you haven't seen Hamilton, you haven't heard the music, you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But if you get a chance, go watch the interview later on and watch the, because it's really good. They're both fucking just going crazy. That Weird Al's there with them.
Right.
I actually like the music. Hamilton. I've listened to it a few times.
He's also the guy who's like, I want to make that fucking Name of the King thing, or the they're Patrick Rothfuss books because he loves those books so much. Like, he's just like a super nerdy guy.
Oh, who, Weird Al? He wants to make the Name of the King guys.
No, like no, the Lin-Manuel Miranda. I know. Like that guy's the guy's super rich now.
Yeah,
like Weird Al's like cultural. The other guy's like super rich. Yeah, because he's like, oh my.
My favorite part of the interview was that he's from Puerto Rico, right? So yeah. Puerto Rico got fucked. And he's like, we're gonna go do shows in Puerto Rico. I'm gonna rejoin and do it for 5 shows because you know he retired from the role a while back or whatever on Broadway. And we're gonna put like half the tickets are gonna be cheap ass tickets for Puerto Rico residents, and half the tickets are gonna be expensive as fuck. And we're gonna give a lot of money to Puerto Rico. So if you want to come see me, come spend a lot of money in Puerto Rico because they need it. Right. It's actually a really clever way of, not clever, but you know, it's cool to see somebody kind of stand up for their, and I know Puerto Ricans are very, very kind of nationalistic and in love for their love for Puerto Rico, but it's cool that somebody actually does that.
Why is Hamilton so big, by the way? I mean,
it's fucking good, apparently.
Because we haven't had a very good musical in how many years?
Well, we've had, I don't think it's that. I think it's basically... Oh. It is it's effectively a rags to riches story. It's about a guy, you know, Alexander Hamilton went through all these, you know, hardships as a child growing up. Like, parents died, all this stuff. He worked for like a shipping company in like one of the Caribbean islands, and then like put himself through school, pushed himself to the top, became smart, read all this stuff, learned all these things, became really confident with himself, and all this stuff had basically pushed himself to the top. And then he died a tragic death. So it's basically the Shakespearean drama. Yeah. And then what they did is they made really good, catchy music by combining historical stuff with like hip-hop music. And then they just cast people who were good at those roles as opposed to what their skin looked like.
I'm sure it also helps that it's based on American history. It's based on a portion of American history that people think is the most important. No, I'm serious. We don't have cultural icons. I think it's funny
you said it.
I know. We don't have, like, cultural icons in our country. You know, like, you know, some countries have cultural icons, and ours are people we don't think about. Washington, I mean, they're our founding fathers. They're almost this mythical, like, culture thing right now, right? And so it's kind of interesting that they took these characters and made them into real pseudo people, and you get to watch them and do so. It's the same reason why Lincoln did so well at the fucking movies. Like, everybody loves Lincoln. Ah, fuck Lincoln in that fucking movie.
The thing that's weird to me mostly, I guess, is probably the fact that it's weird to me that a play is big. Like, I mean, it feels like we're talking about kids and how they're different and digital, online. Like, it seems like going to plays seems especially old-fashioned, if that makes sense.
That's why it has to be really good to break the mold and to make it big, like Book of Mormon's another one that recently came out that people think is just fucking huge and amazing. So we should go see these.
Rent.
I go see it. I
go to New York for Hamilton.
It's coming here, but you had to get season tickets.
Fuck that. I bet you there's shows in like Vegas we can go see. Let's go to Vegas. There's probably a show showing there.
Back to your cultural reference thing. Mm-hmm. So Hamilton would be like England's Guy Fawkes, like the popularity.
I'd probably pick somebody else, but like Churchill or something. Or
cultural icon, Guy Fawkes. That's a musical they should make.
I don't know about that. But sure, I would watch it just for you. All right, so we're going to go see Mary Poppins. We're going to go see Hamilton. We're going to go see the Book of Mormon. Sounds good. It's going to be an expensive weekend.
Right. But, why... Okay, we spoke about, like, why is Puerto Rico... Like, I've always thought this, interestingly. Why is Puerto Rico's, like, love of Puerto Rico totally within the bounds of... It's okay. It's like, hey, Puerto Rican, you love Puerto Rico. But then people love America, and it's like, it's crazy, and you're like, that's fucked up. Why do you love America so much at the expense of everyone else? I think that's, in my head, that's where it is. It's like putting America 100% in front of everyone else, as opposed to saying Puerto Rico being small is equal to America or something like that. I'm not.
I think it's because they're a racial population versus a mixed population.
I'm pretty sure it's just that America is fucking America, and Puerto Rico is this little tiny protectorate island.
And that's,
you know, what I mean?
And, and that's what I think it's got to be. It's got to be like, we're proud to be Puerto Rican because there's like a million of us versus 330 million of
us. Hey, you know, when you're on top, when people are walking around going, I'm on top, I'm on top, I'm on top, people don't look at it as they don't like it as much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, like, for example, it seems less weird to be like, I'm Minnesotan, and Minnesota's pretty cool. Like, because I think it's smaller. You know what I mean? So there's, like, it's more exclusive, if that makes sense. Yeah, and it's also not like, it's not like we're, it's not like you're number one and you're just reminding people of it, you know, about
so,
things.
So, yeah.
Because actually, that's the form people this, reminded all, a lot, too.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, because throughout the whole Super Bowl week, what was the whole mantra? We are the Bold North. Welcome to the Bold North. I would say.
Oh, yeah. See, now if they would have said welcome to the Cold North, then people would be like, oh, that's not bad. Okay, because it's just cold here. It's like when people like are saying, like, oh, how many championships have you won? And you're like, oh, God, stop, Wisconsin.
Four. Five.
The fuck? Stop saying, like, oh, man, how many Super Bowls have you won? We're great. Oh,
we've won a shitload, haven't we? Fucking right in the back of the WNBA, we've won a shitload.
Exactly.
Right. But people from Wisconsin
like five
love the fact that
they got a ring for every finger.
They won they've won a lot of Super Bowls.
Who?
Yeah, but that's all they can hang their hat on.
Right. They hang their hat on that they've won, like, they're like, Green Bay is great because we won so many Super Bowls. And they're like,
they also have like beer and cheese. They got shit going for them.
Oh yeah, they're
not
number one anymore.
I don't know.
Harley Davidson's.
Wisconsin's
weird.
Ben Con
used to be in Milwaukee.
Because we'll shit on Wisconsin. Wisconsin will shit on us. But if somebody comes from New York and's like, man, look at these fucking Wisconsinites, we'll be like, hey, that's our cousin. You fucking leave them alone. They're awesome.
That's true, probably, actually.
But they're not even number
fucking
one.
New Yorkers don't fuck with us.
Like,
the Dakotas are our adopted brother.
Yeah, North Dakota is now the drunkest state in the union. Wisconsin's number two.
We're right between them. It's where everybody goes to get away from the drunkenness.
Right, exactly. It's all like, you go, it's like, oh, here comes Thanksgiving again with fucking crazy, crazy cousin North Dakota and drunken Uncle Wisconsin. And they're like, you know what's great about America? You freedom to do whatever we want. And we're like, oh, okay, here we go.
South Dakota sitting in the corner crying.
But that, you know, that's it. When you brought up New York, that did, like, bring up some sort of defensiveness about Minnesota, because you get that. You get, like, you talk to someone from, like, California or New York, or, they might, like, know nothing about Minnesota. Like, literally, you say Minnesota, like, isn't that place cold? And that's all they know.
Is that, is that one of those flyover states? Like, I hate that.
If they say that shit,
I know, I hate that fucking term.
Like, I'll fly over and fucking shit on you, motherfucker, if you want to go down. Like, that pisses me off. That is so rude and dismissive.
Brian, I just can't ever picture you doing that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, no, on their car. A show on their car. But no, I know what you're saying. TV's Joe Rogan's podcast brings it up all the time. And he brings up good points that, you know, they do comedy, so they travel all around a lot. And he's like, in the 90s, those flyover states were just like, you didn't want to have to do them in the flyover states. But now, because everybody's got technology, flyover states are just normal states, unless it's like, you know, Iowa. But no, I'm just kidding. Those were his words, not mine. So. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much interconnectivity nowadays that those distinctions kind of fall away. So.
I know, but there's still that sort of...
Oh, it's normally there. You're right. It's normally
there's
there.
There's that pride, or, I guess, dismissiveness of people being like, I'm from the greatest state around, you know. Ooh, you know.
And, New and Jersey.
I can see how a small country would have a similar feeling of, you know, nobody even knows anything about my country, but we're pretty cool, actually, too. And there's, like, four guys that came from Puerto Rico that are awesome. now I'm shitting on them.
That's about right. Four people.
But, like, they know them, and they're proud, and there's probably tons of tales of things that they've done that's interesting. But they know it. Nobody else does, and that's kind of got to be annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you go like, oh, Puerto Rico, that's great. Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I heard cruise ships go there sometime.
Hey, speaking of cruise ships, next year, I mean, I know not everybody's keen on cruises, but next year Carnival is having cruises that go to Cuba, and I think that would be fucking awesome. Like, that's a place our parents couldn't go for their entire lives if they wanted to. And now they're just like, hey, you guys want to go to Cuba? Cool. Grab a passport, jump on a boat, we'll stop in Cuba. You guys can look around. So that's something I might actually think about doing. I don't love cruises as much. They're okay, especially if friends are there. But stopping at Cuba, I think, would be pretty cool. Then we can see the 1950s cars in the 2018 technology.
Is fucking Vin Diesel going to be there? Because that shit was sweet.
This is Cuba!
That would be sweet. We should get
I would just want to eat Cuban sandwiches. I'd be like, I'm eating a Cuban sandwich in Cuba.
Do you think it's
actually... Adam,
it has pulled pork and ham and Swiss cheese and pickles.
Oh,
I don't
know
if any of those things are Cuban at all. They're so good because they're pressed flat and all.
Amber made those, like at home, and she like slow cooked the pork and like she pressed the bread when she made it, and they were fucking delicious. I was impressed. I ate like six of them. I had stomach ache for days.
I always get one when I'm at the Twins game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they're authentically Cuban. Just like
I don't think so.
Taco Bell is not authentically Mexican.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Slow your roll there, buddy. What are you talking about? It's fucking delicious Mexican.
Right, and if Mexican food is delicious, and Taco Bell is delicious Mexican, they're authentically delicious. Yes,
by the power of transitive
property.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think we're winding down. Everyone's yawning. That means it's about time to get off. So
Ryan's super tired. Look at him.
We got anything?
Ryan's like, I want to play a game.
Yeah, it looks like we're about done. I'm looking through the stuff. So cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for 100 fun episodes. I know it's a lot of work, but what the fuck? You just got to sit there and talk. It's not a lot of work. Fuck you. Why are you saying so much work, you sons of bitches?
Ryan, come on, get off it, Dave. It's always talking about how much work it is.
Get off your mom.
I think it's neat. It's a big milestone. You may not think it is, but it's a fucking big milestone. Most podcasts don't make it past 10, so we did a good job. It's kind of like one of those most restaurants or whatever fail within the first 2 years. See, our restaurant's flying high, so good job.
Yeah, it's like that's those Mexican or those Puerto Rican podcasts are usually like fucking over in 2 days, and those New York podcasts, they're like three at most.
Yep. Here comes racist Ryan.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
No, it's just like statist. We don't care about it.
These are states. Yeah, the race don't matter. It's the country or state.
And send those complaints to Ryan at
gofuckyourself.com
FTW.
So if you are listening, you are a listener, especially if you're from Japan, thanks, really appreciate it.
arigato.
I don't understand it, but I think it's great. So
it's a military base.
Let's try to I don't think so, man. There's military bases everywhere. Like they're not, we can only get this one podcast in Okinawa for some reason. But yeah, we'll be back for another 100 episodes, and hopefully by that time we'll have something figured out. Adam, where can people get in touch with us?
Well, to send your complaints to Ryan for being so racist, let's go to geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com.
Woo! 100 episodes, he's got it!
We also have a Facebook page at the Geeks Next Door.
Woo! I'm telling you, by 200 episodes, you'll be running this, baby.
And check out Twins on Twins on YouTube. Looks pretty sweet.
Yes. Yes, it certainly does. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be gone for a week. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. See ya.